My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at CMEFCU.org.
Terms apply. Minimum floor rates, 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge weekend of Scottish football. The Saturday card in the sunshine will not disappoint. Motherwell, St Mirren, Kilmarnock, Hibs, St Johnstone, Aberdeen and Hearts against Ross County. Of course, it's only Saturday, which means memories of seeing off Jose Mourinho and getting through in the Europa League are still fresh for Rangers fans. But it's all attention then turning to the east end of Glasgow tomorrow lunchtime for Celtic against Rangers. Barry Ferguson's first in charge. Celtic trying to go 19 points clear, and the away fans are back as well. What more could you want from your weekend? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Ross McCormick, Gordon Dalziel, and Roger Hannah.
Well, Barry Ferguson got the better of Jose Mourinho on Thursday. Can he get the better of Brendan Rodgers tomorrow and give Rangers a first win at Celtic Park in 5 years? Or does Celtic avenge the New Year derby defeat, go 19 points clear and move within two wins of four in a row? We also have a Dundee derby at Tannadice tomorrow, Gordon. By that stage, the Dark Blues could be bottom of the Premiership if St Johnstone get a decent win over Aberdeen in Perth today. We've got the two talented teens that Steve Clarke brought into the Scotland squad. We'll see Lennon Miller and Motherwell against St Mirren. We'll see James Wilson and Hearts against Ross County. And maybe the most intriguing of them all, third bottom Killy against third top Hibs at Rugby Park, both in need of points. And that's before we even look at the Mushroom against Bruny along the road at Fir Hill. Quite the weekend. Oh,
big games ahead. Big, big games. We're now at that part of the season, Gordon, where every point is valuable, whether it's, you know, for the top six or relegation, playoffs, whatever it may be. You look into that championship, a lot of good games, two derbies tomorrow. And I'd just like to say, in all my years, Wilson and Keevans have certainly let their cell go.
I was going to say, Ross McCormick, you've been called many things over the years, but that's the Hugh Keevans seat that you're in. Big cardigan to fill on a Saturday afternoon.
Extra special, I'll be honest, I didn't want to sit here, but Roger said you can sit where you want, so I thought, yeah, I'll sit in the great man's chair. But
Looking forward to today.
What a weekend of football you got. I think the top six is heating up. I think it's going to be one from four, I think. So it's a big, big day with them playing each other, Motherwell looking to consolidate their place in the top six, and then obviously you've got the big one tomorrow, not forgetting the Dundee derby, so it's a huge weekend in Scotland.
Yes, plenty to look forward to. We're about to take a breather for the international break as well, so let's enjoy it, let's savour it, soak it all in, because there are big stories everywhere you look. This afternoon, as Ross McCormick quite rightly says, we can use the phrase six-pointer quite freely at this time of the season, and that certainly applies with the race for the top six between Motherwell and St Mirren. Great games this afternoon. Of course, one of the biggest, the showpiece game in the Scottish Premiership for many, taking place at Celtic Park tomorrow. So we'll do plenty of build-up to that one as the afternoon progresses. Don't forget, you can stay in touch all day on Twitter at ClydeSSB. And then, as we always do on a Saturday, I'll give you the nod later on and you can get in touch with your thoughts on the phone lines. And of course, Thursday night, it only was a couple of days ago. In fact, it was closer than Gordon DL would have liked, because it ran right on until about 11 o'clock. So that will still be fresh in the memory, so we can take a look back there and assess what it means for Rangers, what their chances are against Athletic Bilbao, what it all means for Barry Ferguson, and so on. So strap yourselves in, it's sun is shining out there. Let's enjoy the football together, starting with Fir Park for Motherwell against St Mirren. Here is Fraser Wishart.
As you say, Gordon, sun shining at Fir Park. Lennon Miller will be wanting to put on a show, called into the Scotland squad, and as you guys were talking about in the studio as well, every point absolutely vital at this time of the season. At the beginning of the season, I think the main target for these two clubs, of course staying in the league, but also to finish in the top six, and St Mirren are looking to do so for the third time in a row, and Motherwell, of course, consistently at the top end of the table for many, many years. And so with four games to go, important game for both these clubs still in the ring for that top six place. Probably more for St Mirren, who will be 6 points behind Motherwell with three games to go if they lose. And with these two, Ross County, Hearts and maybe Kilmarnock, depending on how results go today, all lining up that sixth place, focusing on your own team is vital for all the teams involved. Maybe even Dundee United and Aberdeen might get dragged into the fight depending on how things go over this weekend. But both sides had no game last week. They had cup exits, and it might have been a welcome for both teams, particularly for Motherwell, chance to get a rest, get some injured players fit, and for the new manager Michael Vimmer to get time on the training ground with these players. They had big wins against Dundee and of course Ibrox last time out, and won their last two, but that was after six defeats in a row. But they should have been full of confidence after winning at Ibrox. But St Mirren, they also had a good performance against Celtic, and although they lost in the end, they played really well and they were competing with Celtic. If it hadn't been for a poor decision by the referee in VAR to deny them a Stonewall penalty, they might have got something from that game. So Stephen Robinson has the players that suit this type of game, strong, athletic, pace on the break. I think they'll fancy their chances here today, but maybe not losing is the priority though, as they have probably more favourable fixtures than Motherwell and one or two others around them before the split. So really interesting 90 minutes ahead, looking forward to it, hoping for some goals. Team news for Motherwell, they made two changes. Stephen O'Donnell's back from injury and Luke Plange makes his first start. Dan Casey drops to the bench and Luke Armstrong's out injured, so they go with the 3-4-2-1 formation. Ellery Balcombe in goals. Stephen O'Donnell, Liam Gordon and Dan Casey at the back. Tom Sparrow, Kai Andrews, Andy Halliday and Dominic Thompson across the middle, with Lennon Miller and Callum Slattery behind Luke Plange up front. The subs for Motherwell: Aston Oxborough, Kofi Balmer, Davor Dravkovsky, Harry Payton, Johnny Katrumbis, Ewan Wilson, Moses Ibiye, Tony Watt and Will Dixon. And also two changes for St Mirren. We know Michael Mandro is out injured, but Richard Taylor drops to the bench. In Kamayunga for Mandron, and Yakaviti replaces Taylor at the back. 3-5-2 for them. Zach Hemming in goals, Marcus Fraser, Alec Gogic and Alex Yakaviti at the back. Ryan Alibiosu, Kieran Phillips, Colin Coy, Boyd Munns, Marco Haran, Declan John in middle, with Toyosi Olasanya and Jonah Ayunga as the strikers. Peter Erminski, Scott Tanzer, Richard Taylor, Usheen Smith, Greg Kilty, Roland Adowu, James Scott, Owen Oseni and Elvis Bomono are the substitutes for St Mirren. The referee today at Fir Park is Grant Irvin, and in VAR duty is Greg Aitken.
It's nothing new really, I suppose, Fraser, the spotlight being on Lennon Miller, but does it just intensify a bit once you get a call up to the Scotland squad? People then start looking at him and his performances through that lens, first and foremost, quite simply. Everyone hoping he stays fit today and comes through the game and is able to drop into the Scotland setup tomorrow evening or whenever it is, but just feels like there'll be an extra attention on him now.
Yeah, I think there will be. I saw Michael Vimmer during the week talking about he knew about Lennon Miller, before he came here, because he was linked in the media in Germany with Eintracht Frankfurt. So I think Lennon's had to cope with this for the last couple of years. And when you speak to him, he's a very well-rounded character. He's a calm personality. I think he's coping with everything really, really well. A lot of it goes down to his dad, who's a similar character. He's been through it as a professional footballer as well. So I don't think anything phases this young lad. And I think he'll just go on with his game. He's playing slightly further forward than I've seen him recently. He's been a wee bit deeper, and he can influence the game by just playing as one of those two tens behind the main striker. So I don't think anything will change from Lennon Miller. Of course, we'll all be looking at it, hoping that he stays fit, because it's a great honour for him to be in the Scotland squad, and he might just get a run over these next two games. But no, he's a cool character, Lennon Miller. I don't think anything phases this lad.
I'm not sure we need to go for a full "is the split a good thing" debate that we often do in Scottish football, Fraser, but it is this type of fixture that does sort of back up the split as being quite a good competitive piece of innovation that we've got here in Scotland. I know it's not without its faults, but like we said, when you look at the gap between the teams today, and Motherwell in sixth and St Mirren trying to get there and so on, it does add something today.
Yeah, it does. I mean, this year's unusual, Gordon. I think if you look from third down to about 10th, you know, it's very, very tight. And it's unusual that it's as tight as that in most years. So I'm a fan of the split. I think it brings competitiveness for the whole season. When you've got a league where usually two teams, and in recent years one team, Celtic, have been way ahead of everybody else, then it's difficult to keep things alive if the third and fourth place is gone as well. So I like it, because after the split as well, even like St Johnstone, who are bottom of the table, they're playing against the bottom five, so they've got a chance of winning games and staying up as well. So I'm a big fan, but yes, you're right, this game between two teams who are in that running for the top six is really, really important. And just looking at St Mirren's fixtures, I think if they don't lose today, they'll be quite happy, because I think they've got Kilmarnock, Ross County and Dundee coming up as well, so they'll fancy their chances in those next three games.
Plenty to look forward to then at Fir Park. We'll go back to Fraser Wishart and continue the build up to that one. What about the Capital? Because Hearts are another of those teams trying to get into the top six, and tucked in just behind them, today's opponents, Ross County. Gabriel is the man.
Yeah, Gordon, good afternoon from Edinburgh, where spring has arrived in the capital. The sun is beaming down in the main stand here at Tynecastle. Got no jacket on for the first time this year. What a start to the day. And what a week it's been for a certain man, or should I say boy, here at Hearts. James Wilson has also been called up to the Scotland squad for next week's matches after scoring six times so far this season. Two of them coming against today's opposition, Ross County, back in December. Yeah, the teenager is back in the starting lineup today as well. It doesn't get much better than that for the 18-year-old. The Hearts boss Neil Critchley said it was incredible that the Jambos have both the youngest and the oldest player in Steve Clark's squad, with Craig Gordon also included, but no place for club captain Lawrence Shankland. All three of those are involved from the start today. So Wilson is the only change to the team that beat Dundee in the Cup last weekend. He comes in for Kenneth Vargas, who drops to the bench. Looks like a 4-3-3 formation for Hearts. Craig Gordon in goal. We've got Adam Forrester, Lewis Nielsen, Michael Steinvender and James Penrice at the back. Sander Carton, Benny Beningame and Blair Spittle in the middle. Lawrence Shankland, James Wilson and Elton Kabungu up top. Substitutes Clark, Grant, Neuwenhoff, Forrest, Milne, Dander, Musa, Vargas and Taylor. But it's not all about Hearts today. Ross County, as you say, just tucked in behind them in the league. Remember their shocking away run in the top flight? Winless in over 18 months it was. Well, they've won four of their last six on the road. Don Cowie really started to turn it around here, and he's made two changes to the side that beat Kilmarnock 2 weeks ago. Ashworth and White dropped to the bench. In come Harmon and Kenner. Looks like it'll be a 3-5-2 formation. So you've got Jordan Amisa in goal. A back three of Jonathan Tomkinson, Casper Lapota and Ellie Campbell. Akil Wright and George Harmon will be the wing-backs, with Connor Randall, Josh Nisbet, Noah Kennett in the middle. Noah Chilvers will play just off Kieran Phillips up top. The substitutes, Laidlaw, Hale, Greaves, Ashworth, Samuel, White, Smith, McLeod and Robiston. Now, for all your talk, all the talk from Fraser about Fir Park being the place to watch for the top six race today, perhaps it's here you should be looking. At the start of the season, you'd say that one of these teams would be right up there pushing the Old Firm, and the other would be down at the bottom fighting relegation. Both of these teams made such poor starts to the campaign, but they've turned it around, and as you say, they're 7th and 8th, though just outside of the top half. And with just four games left, including today, before the split, things are as tight as ever in the middle of the table, and it feels like 3 points could be seismic for either of these teams. The referee will be Callum Scott, and the VAR, Don Robertson.
Another one to look forward to. A few different priorities perhaps then for the two sides that go head to head in McDermott Park. St Johnstone very much at the bottom, Aberdeen with loftier ambitions. David Friel is there.
Yeah, Gordon, I'm just hoping the entertainment on the pitch is going to match entertainment off the pitch. It's going like a fair here. There's a family day going on at McDermott Park. There's a live band. There's a beer tent that we'll try and stay away from, and there should be a big crowd here. Aberdeen are going to bring a big crowd. It looks as if a lot of the St Johnstone Academy kids and the families, they're all getting free tickets for today. So in a week where St Johnstone caused a little bit of controversy by opening McDermott Park to Celtic for that potential title party next month, I think it's good to see the local community come out to support their team. It's back to league action for these two. They had successful Scottish Cup quarterfinals, both into the semi-final, and there's just so much at stake for both. As you said, they chase very different targets. St Johnstone start the day bottom, but can go level with Dundee if they win today. A 3-goal victory, it might be a long shot, but that would actually take them above Tony Docherty's side. but I suppose any kind of win is going to suit Seymour Vallecari today. Look, it goes without saying they've had a tough season, St Johnstone, but they've picked up two wins and a draw from the last three games. They look to be building some momentum. They've got a settled team, they've got a threat, and the likes of Mackenzie Kirk. But Gordon, we need to spare a thought for poor game Carey. His wonder goal saw off Livingston on Monday night, booked that money spinning semi-final with Celtic, but his reward today is a place back in the bench against Aberdeen, but I'm sure we'll see him at some point. And I dare say Jimmy Tillino will be telling his players not to let him shoot. It was his birthday yesterday, 47 yesterday, the Aberdeen manager, and he'll be hoping to celebrate with a win today. Aberdeen have only lost once on their last 15 visits to McDermott Park. The stats are with him. They won 2-1 here back in August. Tillino, I remember seeing Aberdeen a couple of months ago, and he managed to survive that awful run. They had nothing about them really, but they've only got one defeat in the last six, and that was against Celtic. They are also starting to hit their stride. They sit fourth coming into today, just a point behind Hibs, where they nearly need another win as that battle for third place hots up. Kevin Nisbet, he's been the main man. He's got five goals in his last six games. He earned a Scotland recall this week, and I'm sure he'll be a key man here today. In terms of the teams, just one change from St Johnstone from that Livy game. Drew Wright is in for Jonathan Svedberg. So it's like Andy Fisher in goals, Daniel Balodis, Zach Mitchell and Barry Douglas at the back, Sam Curtis, Jason Holt, Drew Wright, Sven Spangler and Stephen Duke McKenna across the middle, with Mackenzie Kirk and Adama Sidibe up front. Subs for St Johnstone: Sinclair, Griffith, Svedberg, Clark, Carey, Stephen McPake, Kimpioka and Watt. As for Aberdeen, just one change as well. Jack McKenzie comes in for Leighton Clarkson, that means Graham Shinney is shifting into midfield. So it's Dimitar Mitov in goals against his former club. Back four of Alexander Jensen, Alfie Dorrington, Mats Noster and Jack McKenzie. Graham Shinney and Antti Palaversa will anchor the midfield, with Shaden Morris, Kevin Nisbet and Topi Keskinen in behind Ode Dabag. Subs for Aberdeen are Doohan, Devlin, Povara, Clarkson, Gay, Ockles, Sockler, Milne and Boyd. The referee at McDermott Park is Chris Graham and the VAR is Andrew Dallas.
You know it's getting to that stage of the season because every single game matters. I like the look of every one of them. What about Kilmarnock and Hibs, Callum Brown?
Yeah, good afternoon from Rugby Park as Kilmarnock face Hibs for the third time this season. Derek McInnes' men come into this one having lost three on the spin. They've got four games to try and salvage a spot in the top six, and that push you feel really has to start today against the Hibs side, who haven't lost a league game since early December, so by no means an easy task. Killy occupy 10th position, but they're only 6 points adrift of Motherwell in 6th position. As disappointing as a bottom half finish would be for Killy after last season's success, it's what behind them that probably causes the most concern though, with Dundee and St Johnstone only 3 and 6 points behind respectively. Killy fans will be hoping that the disaster of relegation in 2021 doesn't repeat itself. As for Hibs, they tasted rare defeat last time out as their Scottish Cup journey came to an end at Celtic Park. But David Gray's side are still protecting a 13-match unbeaten league run. They have the chance today to better the club's longest top-flight unbeaten run in a single season. That came in the 1949-1950 campaign in the famous Five Team. In doing so, that would tighten their grip on third spot whilst all but confirming a top six place with around three games to spare. Team news then. Well, the last time Matty Kennedy started a match, Hibs sat bottom of the table on 8 points in early November. That shows you how far the Hibs have come. But in terms of Kilmarnock, Kennedy is one of four changes. Elsewhere, Robbie McCrory, Danny Armstrong and Bobby Wales come into the side. Kieran O'Hara, Liam Polworth, David Watson and Bruce Anderson all drop to the bench. So it's Robbie McCrory back in goal for Killy, a back four of Lewis Mayo, Joe Wright, Robbie Dees and Corey Ndaba. Back in at left back after a stint in midfield. A midfield four of Danny Armstrong, Brad Lyons, Matty Kennedy and Fraser Murray, with young Bobby Wales and Marley Watkins up front. The subs for Killy: O'Hara, Wilson Brown, McKenzie, Watson, Cameron, Anderson, Ramsey, Donnelly and Polworth. As for the visitors, Hibs, three changes from them from their last weekend's Scottish Cup quarter-final defeat to Celtic. Nicky Cadden drops out after picking up an injury in that one, and he is replaced at left wing-back by Jordan Obita, whilst Nathan Mariah Welsh and Josh Campbell also drop to the bench for Dylan Levitt and Junior Hoylett. So it's the regular 3-5-2 for the Hibs. Jordan Smith in goal, a back three of Lewis Miller, Rocky Bushiri and Jack Iredale. Chris Cadden and Jordan Obita will occupy the wing-back berths, flanking a three-man midfield of Nectar, Triantis, Dylan Levitt and Junior Hoylett, who will play as the number 10, in behind Martin Boyle and Kieran Bowie. On the bench for Hibs, Bursic, Ekpeteta, O'Hora, Manny, Mariah Welsh, Campbell, Gale, Rudy Malotnikov and Mykola Kukaravic.
Looking forward to that one as well. Four big Premiership games today, two tomorrow, huge games down the divisions, and a big game to look forward to and back on as well. So we'll take a look at the week's biggest talking points when we return.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
As it happens, and your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Big day of Scottish football ahead, big weekend coming up once we leave you this evening as well. But you probably know the drill by now. At this stage on a Saturday, we reflect, we look back on some of the week's biggest talking points, and no real surprise what it is this week. Fraser Wishart, Jose Mourinho sent up the road with his tail between his legs, and a Scottish team in Rangers heading through to the quarterfinals of the Europa League.
Yeah, amazing. When you think of the season they've had, you think of Rangers' home record recent weeks, Philippe Clément losing his job, Barry Ferguson from nowhere brought in, and my goodness, they were hanging on a wee bit though, didn't they? They did lose the game, and at 2-0, you were really fearful they would lose another goal, but they dug in, thought James Tavernier and Suter, particularly at the back, were brilliant. Balogun was brilliant as well. But it held their nerve, and whatever the score was on Thursday night, Rangers are through to the quarterfinals in what's been a remarkably bad season. It's amazing. But it keeps the season alive, because if they were knocked out on Thursday night, what do Rangers have to play for between now and the end of the season? So a really important win for lots of reasons. Firstly, for the supporters, it gives them something to cheer about. Financially, it's good for the club as well, and it just keeps the players on their toes as well for the remainder of the season. Terrific night at Ibrox, but it was very nervy. You could feel it, I think, even through the television, you could feel it. And Ibrox, the fans were really nervous towards the end. But they got there in the end, and a great night for Rangers fans.
Yeah, David Friel, I think most of you, well, probably all of you, expected Rangers to go through, given how well they did in the first leg. I'm not sure you expected a 2-0 defeat and for it to happen the way it did, but nevertheless, on Rangers go, and Bilbao up next.
Yeah, it's obviously going to be a tougher test. You know, I expected Rangers to score in the night, Gordon. I don't think it was, you know, if you take the 90 minutes in isolation, a vintage European performance from Rangers are hitting the standards that they've probably seen in previous years or even this season. But I was actually really impressed with the way Rangers handled extra time. I thought the pressure was on then, and as Fraser said, John Suter, James Tavernier, guys like that, really steadied the ship. And I actually think moving back to a back four made a big difference for Rangers at that point as well. And look, they're through. The work was done in Istanbul. You know, it was 3-1 going on 5, and Rangers finished the job. I do think Athletic Bilbao were a much, much tougher test. Watched a bit of their game against Roma the other night, and they looked very, very good. Fourth in La Liga just now. They finished higher than Rangers in the Europa League phase as well. I wonder if that is going to be a step too far for Rangers, but they deserve huge credit for getting this far.
How important was it, Roger Hannah? What does it mean, apart from the obvious, that you go through to the next round of the Europa League? How big was it?
It was huge. As Fraser said, it kept Rangers' season going. You wonder what it would have done for Barry Ferguson's job prospects had they gone out to Fenerbahce on the night at Ibrox after a 3-1 first leg lead. It keeps him going. It brings in valuable money as well to the coffers. You know, you get to the quarter final, it's valuable. If they could get past Bilbao, it becomes really valuable. So it was crucial for Rangers, and they weren't very good, Gordon. But if someone had said last Thursday afternoon before the first leg in Istanbul, Rangers will get through in penalty kicks next week at Ibrox, I think every single Rangers fan would have taken it, regardless of the circumstances.
It's funny the way you can spin it, Ross, and look at it in two separate ways, because of course you'd rather be in a 3-1 lead. I mean, that just goes without saying. But in a strange way, it probably does crank up the pressure, because if you go out at home having had a 3-1 lead from the away leg, you know, it's seen as this monumental collapse. So is that the psychological bit that Rangers had to handle on Thursday?
Like you're saying, it was added pressure, because everyone expected them to go and get the job done. And we've seen over recent weeks what happens at Ibrox when they're expected to go and take the game to someone and beat them. And that's been a problem for Rangers, but it's absolutely massive that they've got through. I probably agree with what most folk are thinking, that it might be a step too far this round. I think the big thing about it is that the second leg isn't at Ibrox. If you look at the the nights over the last few years that they've had, the second leg's always been at Ibrox and it's been a big night. So the fact that they're away from home second leg could play a huge part in that. I think it might just be one step too far.
How big a night was it, Gordon, for Jack Butland, who's had a bit of stick this season, quite a lot of stick this season in Europe, domestically, but when you go and step up and save two penalties to help you through?
Yeah, funny enough, we were sitting in the studio watching this and we fancied him as the better of the goalkeeper. You're right, Gordon, he's not had the season that everybody was expecting. We know he is a top quality goalkeeper, but when Rangers needed him on Thursday night, he certainly provided the goods. We keep saying, you know, the next round's a step too far for Rangers. Everybody believes that. This is a Thursday night Rangers. You never know what you're getting. How many times have we been in here talking about that and they've produced the goods? But look, I agree with the guys. I don't think Rangers played particularly well on Thursday night. Cup football's quite simple. Get into the next round, and Rangers achieved that.
What did it mean for Barry Ferguson, Roger?
I think it was huge for Barry Ferguson. This has been a really big week. If he, you know, we said last week, if he could get past Fenerbahce in any shape and then escape Celtic Park tomorrow without a defeat, it would represent a really good week for Barry Ferguson. I thought, you know, I agree with Fraser, I thought they looked better when they went back to that flat back four. So he can see things in games and he can change things in games. You know, he changed prior to the first leg, he went to that back five and it worked. And then they looked far better when he went back to the back four. Fascinated to see what he does tomorrow going to Celtic Park. There'll be a few tired limbs, I would imagine, after that extra time and penalties on Thursday. Does he change personnel? Does he go with a five? Does he go with a four? These are big decisions for Barry Ferguson, because he will go into Celtic Park and meet a Celtic side who have had 2.5 months to stew on the performance and the defeat at Ibrox.
David Friel, I don't think any of us really know, because of the impending takeover and so on, we don't really know to what extent Barry Ferguson's name will stay in the managerial conversation. But would that conversation have ended straight away if Rangers had gone out on Thursday?
I'm not sure, Gordon. Look, I said last week, I don't see Barry Ferguson becoming the next Rangers manager. However, he's certainly putting himself into the conversation. He has to be with those kind of results and the performance in Istanbul. I think, though, although we don't know too much about the thinking of Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marata and all the 49ers enterprises, I think they will take an overall view of things. I don't think they will be the type of people who will just be swayed by a couple of one-off results. I think they'll look at this very strategically. And of course, Barry Ferguson will come into the conversation, but my gut feeling is they'll just look elsewhere for a new manager and a fresh start.
Do you know what I mean, Gordon? I'm not really asking now of whether you think he will or won't be, but I wonder if... Because if everyone's saying he has to show something, those who think it's possible, right, think he needs to show something. So if the season had ended on Thursday, then...
No chance. Yeah, no chance. And, like, depends. I think everything will do. I agree with David, right? I think Barry is in there to steady the ship. I think he's in there to give Rangers board a bit of breathing time. You've seen the passion he brings to the club. He's a supporter. He was a legend. Everything about him. Thursday night was massive for him. Look, big task tomorrow, and I think Roger's right. It'll be really interesting to see how he goes and lines up tactically. But I think going forward, with new investors coming in, Gordon, they tend to look in a different direction. But if Barry can keep doing what he's doing, I'm sure he must be going to be involved somewhere along the line in that structure.
I think Brendan Rodgers was having a little tease at them yesterday when he said he didn't see much of a difference from the inconsistency of Philip Clement's Rangers to the inconsistency of Barry Ferguson's Rangers. They start terribly at Kilmarnock, but they win the game. They then lose to Motherwell. They then beat Fenerbahce in Turkey. They then lose to Fenerbahce, but somehow get through in penalties. It has been inconsistent. He needs to get that inconsistency out of the Rangers players' games. He might need to get a draw tomorrow and then win out the rest of the season if he's going to have a chance of getting this job.
Is that where managers do obviously require a sort of calmer, more analytical head than the rest of us, Fraser? Because we can all say it's all about getting through and that's really all that matters. But I suppose if you're Barry Ferguson, you would need to analyse that performance, make sure it was better in the future, make sure you don't lose 2-0 at home for, you know, losing a fourth consecutive match at Ibrox.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Barry get carried away at the end of the game and you could see the joy in the players' faces, the fans' faces, but Barry would have to sit down and look at the game and think, You know, they lost 2-0, and I think that was a fair reflection on the game, and they could have lost the game 3-0 during the 90 minutes, especially in the second half. So he'll have to look at it analytically and come up with a team for tomorrow. He's got to think about what Celtic going to do. They double up in wide areas, their full-backs and their wide players. So if he goes with the 3-4-2-1, that leaves your wing-backs exposed. So I think he might go to a back four. But he's obviously got the Tavernier Maeda issue. Where does Maeda play? Will he play through the middle? So lots to think about. But from Barry's point of view, I'm not sure he even thinks that he will absolutely be the next Rangers manager. He came in to help the club that he loves, and at 47, it's the first opportunity he's had really to be a full-time coach. And I think he's done well. I think he's individually analysing games, changing things as well. And I agree with what the guys are saying. There should really be a role. If he gets to the end of the season and things improve, then I think he should be rewarded with a role. But who knows what Barry wants? You know, he's got a life outside of football with his wife and his family. So really intriguing. But at the moment, Barry will just be focused on the big game tomorrow. I think he's been quite calm. We all know as a player he could get stuck in, and he was a really emotional player. But I think he's spoken well in the media. I think he's been calm at the side of the pitch as well. But tomorrow will be a big test for him and a big test for the Rangers team. Can they lift themselves physically and mentally for this game?
What did you make of Jose Mourinho, Roger? We've not had the pleasure of him on Scottish soil, well, ever really, for a club game. Was he everything you headline writers hoped he would be?
Oh, he was fabulous. I mean, I said, I think the time the draw was made, when Rangers, you know, missed that last round, they were going to get either, was it 20 Enschede or Anderlecht or somebody, or Fenerbahce. It was desperate for it to be Fenerbahce to get Jose over. He is show business. He is cabaret. He was fantastic in all of his press conferences, and even in defeat, you've seen the videos in the last 24 hours of him going into the home dressing room congratulating Barry Ferguson. And I see a few people in social media saying, well, of course he went in. It gives him an idea of where he's going to be working next season.
He's brilliant, I've got to say. Absolutely. I'm going to use the word adore him. I think he's great.
Oh, behave yourself.
I think
a man of your age. Look, 63 tomorrow.
I absolutely adore Jose Mourinho. I think he brings something. Football, you look at people in football, 90% are as boring as anything. Yeah. He is exciting. He brings it. Even his scarf matching his jacket.
And his hair.
And his hair. Come on. As Roger said, showbiz.
Don't really know where to go after talking about the man's scarf, but
yeah, do you know what? I'll add something to Jose Mourinho. When I was at Fulham, his son was a goalkeeper for Fulham under 14s, so he used to train in the training ground when the schools were off. Jose Mourinho, every single person that he walked past in the Fulham training ground, he knew them on first name terms. He would say, "Hi, Gordon. Hi, Roger. Hi, Gordon."
We weren't there.
It was unbelievable. No, I know, but that's the kind of guy he is. Takes an interest in absolutely everyone, so it doesn't surprise me that he's went into the dressing room to congratulate.
What was the video? Was it Bailey Rice who thought about putting a Rangers scarf on his back? Yeah. Did you see that? You've seen the video. So he's behind Jose Mourinho. You know the way you might pull a daft face behind your school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got the Rangers scarf and he almost puts it on him, and then he kind of changes his mind.
No, you don't do that. And I wonder if he gave Barry a lovely bottle of red. Did he not do that with Fergie?
Yeah, he did. Yep. Back in the day.
He's just got a touch of class. I know sometimes
you've got a proper crush on this guy.
See on the touchline and he's moaning and he's jumping about and his players. I didn't like the antics of his players, let me say that. But when he just gets away from that, he's just got that aura. That day I was so close to him just to meet him.
Honestly, pathetic. What chances of progressing again, Roger? Can you ever rule this Rangers team out?
Yeah, listen, they've shown in Europe before. You remember the run in 2022, we had them beaten, I think, every round, and they managed to get all the way to that final in Seville and lost in penalties to Eintracht. You never know. I tend to agree with Ross. I think this might be a step too far. I watched Athletic Bilbao in the second leg against Roma. Roma were down to 10 men after about 10 minutes when Mats Hummels was sent off. But 3-0, it could have been 6-0. Inaki Williams is good. Nico Williams is off the scale. But so, you know,
for extra thing is because it's at their ground, the final.
The final, it's they will have that extra push. And I think, to be honest, I think Rangers will miss Suter and Diamandé in that first leg.
That's true. Forgot about those suspensions as well. I think that's us pretty much done tidying up the leftovers from Thursday. I'm sure you Rangers fans all enjoyed it. It brought up a number of talking points for us, but they are very much linked to what happens next, because tomorrow It's a quick turnaround, a trip to Celtic Park. Who'll be tired? Who won't be? Who'll be fit and available? What sort of tactical decisions will Barry Ferguson make, and how will it be met by Celtic, who are going to win this league and win it comfortably? But it is a question of when. So we'll park that for now. You can tweet us all afternoon at Clyde SSB. You can wade in on the phones a bit later on. But when we return, we go back around the grounds again and focus on these 3 o'clock kickoffs.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
15 minutes away from the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Let's go back around the grounds. We'll start at Fir Park and let's get the thoughts of the new Motherwell manager Michael Vimmer. Been a busy week for the club, of course, with the international call-up of Lennon Miller.
Yes, it's always so balanced if you say, oh God, two wins in a row, why a break? But it was good. We could implement new things. We can work on the Athletic also to get more load in the training sessions, and also to have the friendly game, because for me it was important to get pictures from the players in the game.
He's not mentioned that friendly game was against Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle though, has he? He left that detail out.
Yeah, Wilson said that they played very well against him the last 20 minutes. So
yeah, we're looking forward to that. Fraser, what Michael Vimmer must have valued that time. You want to stay in the cup, let's be honest. We even had a Rangers fan, I think, phoned last night saying maybe it was a good thing that Rangers lost to Queen's Park, because it gave them time to prepare for Fenerbahce. I'm not quite sure that's how it works, but anyway, Michael Vimmer came in. He's got a squad of about 33-34 players. So many injuries. I mean, Motherwell rarely pay money for players. They paid money for Apostolos Stamatolopoulos. He's been out since that Rangers game. It looked like he was back this week. He's now broke his wrist. He'll probably be out for the season. They're on like their third goalie. Aston Oxborough is back. I noticed that Luke Armstrong, who scored the goal against Rangers last time out, he's nowhere to be seen today. Tawanda Maswanisi's nowhere to be seen. He must be desperate for a bit of consistency with who's available.
Yeah, I think so. And as you say, a huge squad. I was just looking at the programme earlier. I think it's 34 players on it. But they've got, you know, they had Shane Blaney and Sam Nicholson now is out again. Jack Vale, Russ Callaghan's been out for a long time. Paul McGinn, goalkeepers just dropping like flies. It's been a strange old season for Motherwell. But I think I said earlier, I feel like Michael Vimmer welcomed the chance to get some of his players some games, some of his injured players fit, and also just start to get his training sessions about how he wants to play as well. But before the break, of course, if they'd lost those two games against Dundee and Rangers, it'd be a different atmosphere. Rangers in particular will give them a lift, totally unexpected, don't often win it at Ibrox. The big game was a Dundee game the week before that, the midweek game, where they were at home to Dundee. I saw them play on the Saturday before that. They didn't play very well. Lost to Dundee United. The week before was against Ross County here. Terrible. And I really worried for Motherwell. But that win against Dundee just steadied the ship. And of course, winning at Ibrox just gives them all a lift. So they should be in good shape, Motherwell. They've got a big enough squad to cope. They've got a decent squad of players. They should be rested. They should be fresh. And I think they've got a really good chance of winning this game.
How encouraging, though, would it be for St Mirren fans, Fraser, knowing that you've got a man in the dugout who, at his current club and the club that you're facing today, really knows how to get a level of success in this league? For this size of club, he's kind of done it all and seen it all multiple times. That must at least be something for the St Mirren fans to keep them warm.
Oh, totally. And if you go into some of the message boards, my family are all big St Mirren fans. They tell me there's people that just want Stephen Robinson out because performances haven't been great, style of play has not been great, and maybe spoiled by the success of the last couple of seasons. To me, that just seems bizarre, because you say he's a guy for a club like St Mirren and Motherwell previously. He knows how to get results, he knows how to get success for those football clubs. So yeah, sometimes I think St Mirren could maybe play a wee bit better football, but the players they've got are strong, they're powerful, they press the game well, they've got big lads up front. Alessania goes and stretches the game. Ayunga today will come and link the play. They've got a good balance to their team, and it might just suit them today, because they don't have to go and make the play. I think that's when they struggle sometimes at home against a team like Motherwell or Ross County or somebody. They struggle to make the play, but I think St Mirren have to make sure they don't lose this game. I think one point for Motherwell to win. They've got Aberdeen and Hearts coming up now before the split. St Mirren go to Kilmarnock, Dundee and Ross County, all teams at the bottom half as well, so they've maybe got an easier spell of games. But for St Mirren it's don't lose. I think for Motherwell they really have to win if they're going to be in the top six.
Looking forward to that one. Also looking forward to St Johnstone Aberdeen. It's a small stat, David. I don't think St entirely important, but it just jumped out at me this morning. I'm quite enjoying Aberdeen being in fourth with a minus eight goal difference. It probably speaks to just how mad their season has been. Where are they now? How close are they to getting back to what they were? Obviously, it's still very tight. How do you assess kind of where they sit currently?
I don't think they're back to where they were in the start of the season, those crazy first few months, Gordon, but they're definitely improving. You speak about goals, I mean, Kevin Nisbet, who had gone so long without a goal, is their top league goal scorer with seven goals. And I think that speaks to what you're talking about in terms of their goal difference. Look, I mentioned that Hibs game earlier on, and I remember watching them that day, and they just had nothing in the final third. They had nobody stepping up to actually weigh in with assists, with goals or anything. And Jimmy Tilleen that day, that was as down as we probably saw him, I think, that day at Easter Road when they lost. And I think since then, I don't know what's happened. They just seem to have found something. I'm not going to say it's a spark, because I don't think they've been that good, but they've found a way. I think the introduction of Dabag's helped Nisbet, and I think together, I think they offer far more of a threat. Shaden Morris, who was always good off the bench, is starting to contribute a bit more from the start. I think Keskinen falls into that category as well. So I definitely think they're still a work in progress under Jimmy Tilleen, but they're banging the hunt for this third place. And a win today would go a long way, because Hibs will get a really tough game down at Kilmarnock. If Aberdeen can get 3 points here, and as I said earlier, they do tend to do well at McDermott Park, it could go a long way to deciding who finishes third.
I can't remember which way you stuck your neck on the line. Were you the original St Johnstone are gone merchant on this show a few weeks ago, a few months ago, David? How are you feeling now?
No, I think that was a few seasons ago, Gordon. I went early. I went after the three games a few seasons ago. But yeah, look, I'd be very worried if I was in Dundee fan, to be perfectly honest with you. I think Dundee are free fall, and they've got a really tough game against United tomorrow. I don't know, something about Simo Vallecari, you know, what was it, he promised the other week rock and roll football again. It's not quite been there, but they're definitely improving. He's got a togetherness, a spirit, and that can go a long way in the final weeks of the season.
Well, let's switch focus to Hearts against Ross County. I wonder how the pressure's cranking up on Hearts, Gabriel. It just maybe shows you how damaging the start to the season was and how congested the league is, because there's no doubt Hearts have improved. Their points tally under Neil Critchley is absolutely fine. It's better than fine. It's quite good. And yet they could finish outside the top six, which for a club of that size is fairly unacceptable.
Yeah, Gordon, exactly as you're saying there. For Hearts and for Ross County, it's the start of the season that is totally costing them. These are two of the form teams in the league. Only the Old Firm and Hibs have picked up more points than these two across the last 10, 15 games. But obviously, Hearts being the bigger club with the bigger expectations, it's a bigger deal for them. Critchley, since he's come in, he had criticism at the start when they were still in Europe, didn't make it through, but he has turned it around. Listen, they're in the Scottish Cup semi-final. They can still make the top six, so the season is still there for Hearts. They could finish in a European place. They could finish third, they could finish fourth, they could win a trophy. All of that. On the other side, they could lose to Aberdeen on the 19th of April, and they could finish 7th or 8th. Now, that would represent a very, very poor season, considering what they did last year. For County, though, it's all just about survival. Could they sneak into the top 6? Yes, they're in 8th at the moment, but if you offer them right now finishing 8th, they would snap your hand off for it. We're talking about the form there, Gordon. Hearts, victors in 7 of their last 9, only losing to Hibs and Rangers, of course, a damaging Derby defeat in a bid for top 6. But they've been very good at beating the teams beneath them in recent months. County have won 3 of their last 4, and this always seems to be the time of year they turn it around. Don Cowie, currently the man doing it once again. They are edging closer to safety, and their crucial away form so much better now. Quite interestingly, two meetings this season have been a draw. Hearts haven't won any of their last 4 games against the Staggies.
And of course, let's look at the game between Kilmarnock and Hibs as well. Callum, just sometimes you get an opponent that just is quite inexplicable, because it can span different seasons and different teams, but you just can't quite get the better of, and Hibs' record against Kilmarnock is not good.
No, it's not. Well, Hibs won the last meeting, of course, Triantis 1-0 in December. The first meeting between the sides this season finished a 1-0 draw here in September. Bruce Anderson's late penalty, but in fact, the last 3 matches here, they've ended in score draws between Kelly and Hibs, so perhaps hoping for that today. But You know, Kilmarnock, they're on a run of just one win in 15 against the Hibs. That was a 1-0 win here in November 2022. Danny Armstrong with the goal in that one. And there's been a real lack of consistency, though, from Kilmarnock this season. And that's probably the frustration for them. I think it's probably highlighted by maybe that goalkeeper position. I think Derek McInnes probably doesn't even know he's number one at this stage of the season. Robbie McCrory's back in today for Kieran O'Hara, but you know, O'Hara with 17 appearances in all competitions this season, McCrory with 23, you know, not quite a 50-50 split, but you know, 60-40, you're kind of wanting a stability and, you know, a figure behind you in goal. And that's probably where Kilmarnock have been let down this season, that defence. 47 goals conceded in the Premiership after 29 games. They only conceded 44 in all of last season. So, you know, it's a difficult one for them today against the Hibs side in fine form. I said, you know, they're looking to go 14 league matches unbeaten, and that would be unprecedented for the club. You know, the famous five, they've got a stand named after them at Easter Road. That's how good that team was in, you know, the late 40s, early 50s. So it's set to be a cracker today, hopefully. And, you know, it's a massive, massive game for Kilmarnock.
Yeah, let's hear from Derek McInnes.
At this stage of the season, with 9 games to go, you'd rather just get a win one way or the other, even if it means a poorer performance. It's just about scraping wins and getting the job done. And we feel that there's wins in us. It's important that we try and get stronger as we go along, but ultimately, we've got to try and rein in the teams above us. I think the league is so unusual in terms of how tight it is. I think from 6th down, nobody can breathe easy, really.
And it's almost showtime. A lot of talk before the games, how the teams are shaping up, what the team lineups will be. We've given you all the answers, and now it's time to find out what the afternoon has in store. 4 fantastic games in the Scottish Premiership, some big ties down the divisions as well. Plenty to look forward to as far as tomorrow goes, and it all gets underway next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kickoff is here across the country. The sun is shining. What more could you want on a Saturday afternoon? Let's see if these three duds can get a pretend ACCA up for us. Ross McCormick, you have 4 Premiership games. Just give us the outcome. We don't need scores or anything like that. Who's going to win those 4 games?
St Mirren, I'm going to go Kilmarnock and Hibs to draw, Hearts to beat Ross County, and a draw at McDermott Park.
Roger Hanna.
Aberdeen to win at Perth, Hearts to beat Ross County. I am going to go with my Monday night mate Andy Halliday and say Motherwell will beat St Mirren, and a draw. I'll agree with Ross, a draw at Kilmarnock.
Okay, I'll go Motherwell, St Mirren, draw. I'm going to go Hibs, Hearts and St Johnson.
Oh.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Get advice on keeping infections and viruses away when school returns.
Well, let's see how that pans out. Don't forget, you can tweet us all afternoon at Clyde SSB, and round about 5 o'clock I will give you the nod, and you can get in touch to let us know what you're thinking on the phones. I've got a funny feeling tomorrow's game might play a fairly sizable part in that, but we can get to that a bit later on. Let's focus on these 3 o'clock games and see if we get any early drama. The Well Boys over in the corner have got a big banner up wanting to end the alcohol ban. I know that's been discussed recently in political circles. Roger Hanna, there's a banner of, I think, John Swinney in between Jack and Victor, who've each got a pint. So that's 1 pint plus 1 pint is 2 pints.
Uh-huh. You know, yes, you know, I'm aware of the phrase to Bobby the Barman
from Still Game.
Yes.
So aye, just leave that up to your imagination. Listen, in the alcohol.
Well, I'll finish that.
I'd rather you didn't.
Steady.
He's a Roger.
I think it's moving in that direction, Gordon, isn't it? I think a lot of the clubs want it to happen. I think you might find there's a two-tier system to it when it comes in. There will be Category A games, like, for instance, one that's taking place in the East End of Glasgow tomorrow at 12:30, where there will be no alcohol. But the likes of, you're talking about Motherwell v St Mirren this afternoon, I think that's an ideal fixture where you can go up, it will be done in a sensible environment, and the clubs will be the financial beneficiaries.
Anyway, we can get back to that at some other point, hopefully, because we've got games on the go right now. There was actually a minute's silence for Cammy Murray, ex-Motherwell and St Mirren player, before the game at Fir Park.
Yeah.
He was a coach at Motherwell when Fraser played back in the 80s. So
I remember Cammy very well. Lovely, lovely man.
Yeah, I saw both clubs paying their tributes in the last couple of weeks, so it was always likely to be the case, fitting that they would come together and pay their respects today.
St Mirren Hall of Famer, I think he holds a record there for the most consecutive appearances over a sort of 3 year spell, I think about in the mid 60s. So an appropriate mark of respect and commemoration.
This family day must have worked, because David Friel says it's the biggest home crowd he's seen at McDermott Park in a while. Always helps when the sun's out and people go along on a Saturday afternoon. Hopefully the football lives up to it. No early drama to tell you about yet. It would be very early, but we'll see how we go in the opening stages. Look at me, Gordon Dale's punching the air. I didn't know you were a big Huddersfield fan.
I've got a lot of time for Huddersfield now.
Just hate Crawley.
I've been to Crawley. Don't enjoy myself, I thought. Next time they're playing Huddersfield.
Creepy Crawley,
yeah. Oh, God. Do you know, so I've worked with Keevans, I've worked with Wilson, I've got to sit here now. I'm glad this is only a 4 hour show.
What are you wanting to happen to Fir Hill this afternoon? It is the mush. It was Mark Wilson against Scott Brown, the old Celtic mates.
One of your closest friends in the world, really, Mark
Wilson.
No,
he's not. Listen, that's a myth. I don't particularly like the boy. I just work with him, he's a work colleague. Look, he's working very hard at it. I think that if they get a result this afternoon, it'd be great times for Thistle, because I think a lot of people are buying into what they're doing. Put some line for a job, and plus the fact it keeps them out here on a Saturday. It's a win-win situation.
And he's running the dugout, Brian Graham playing again, captaining the team. He'll go nose to nose with Scott Brown, maybe the same way Dougie Emery did last week.
Yeah, that was a bit fiery, wasn't it? Ooh. Dougie and Scott Brown, yeah. Two great characters, I've got
Mark
to say.
Mark loves Scott Brown, though, doesn't
he? Oh, yeah, yeah. By the way, Steve Scott, air score, Mark will run out and high five him. That's the sort of a guy Mark is.
Championship, though, Roger, is getting interesting as well. I think Dunfermline clearly struggling, aren't they? Gordon DeGale's old team winning the Fife Derby last night.
Yeah, and they won it convincingly. They look as if they are toiling, Dunfermline, never in the game. They're probably fortunate it was only 2-0 to Raith. And they will be desperately hoping Airdrie don't pick up anything at home to Livy this afternoon.
Right, early chance for Motherwell. Gogic, your pal from the school gates, Gordon Dale, he either slipped or was fouled, but anyway, play went on. Tom Sparrow onto the long ball. He lobbed the keeper, but it went over the bar as well. Marley Watkins flashes a ball across the box. Bobby Wales can't quite get there, nearly an opener. See if Steve Clark is opening his mind to that sort of profile, the James Wilson profile, the young impressive striker in the Scottish Premiership. Yeah. Is Bobby Wales close?
I saw a coach from Derek McInnes through the week suggesting that he has done really well, Bobby Wales, and I'll be fascinated to see what happens with him in the summer. You know, Hearts have got James Wilson under contract, Motherwell have got Lennon Miller under contract, but Bobby Wales' deal runs out at the end of the season. So does he stay? Does he go? If he goes, where would he go? Because I actually think it's more important that he goes somewhere or stays at Killie, where he's going to get regular first team football, because regular first team football is the thing that has thrust Lennon Miller and James Wilson into Steve Clark's thoughts.
Like Bobby Wales, Ross, is he, like we said, if I'd asked you 4 weeks ago, is he in the conversation? Maybe it's no, but now that you see that James Wilson is Bobby Wales close to that level?
It would have to be for me, especially if you look at Kevin Nisbet. For the large part of the season, he's not really pulled up any trees. It's only the last few weeks he sort of started scoring again, so he's definitely in the conversation. I like him, I think he's a good player. I think it's absolutely paramount that he does what Roger just said there. If he is going to go, it's got to be to a club where he continues his development and plays. Otherwise he could fall by the wayside.
Who's doing the Hugh Keevans role on the teasers
the
today?
Man
is
in the
that
middle,
you, Roger Hannah? Don't let the pressure get to you.
I'll not look.
First half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best that's football news and opinion online.
Yeah. Right, who was your first player?
We could just do a few loops of the Mastermind theme tune until
come on,
Johanna gets his question.
Do you know something? Here I don't know why we employ this wee boy here.
But this is what come happens on when Hugh Keevans isn't here. Standards just
he normally just does it off the top of his head.
Exactly.
I need a little bit of assistance. First half teaser, can you name the previous seven vice or stand-in captains to lead their side out in an Old Firm game since 2017-18?
How tough is that?
Now, even I'm going to have to read that again, Gordon. Yeah. Can you name the previous seven vice or stand-in captains to lead their side out in an Old Firm game since 2017.
Oh my 18. Goodness.
I'll tell you how tough that is. There's no answers below it.
That is incredibly tough. So essentially that? looking for the Old Firm games where Callum McGregor or Scott Brown didn't lead Celtic out and James Tavernier didn't lead Rangers out.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That is tough. You need to get them all at Clyde SSB. Of course, to win it, you need to get them all and get them all quicker than everyone else. But I don't mind, just throw some names at us, have fun, see what you can get, see how many you can land, and we'll do that between now and just before half time at Clyde SSB. Not many goals anywhere in Scotland. The first and the only one, I think, that comes, and what a journey that is. At least they've seen their team go in front early on against form, you'd have to say. Inverness, Cali Thistle nil, and an Athletic 1.
They're as well not getting too excited. I've seen away teams go to Inverness, Gordon, and lead 3-0 at half time and still have a long road home after losing. Okay.
And the manager has to get a police escort out at the stadium.
But at least I was still brave enough to start up at Aviemore for the fish and chips on the way home.
Oh, you have to. You just have to.
I didn't care who I ran into, the air boys or whatever. I was in there for my fish supper.
Do you not think it's a little bit frustrating? It's just a wee bit too close to Inverness, though.
Yeah.
You know, when you're leaving, could you break up the journey a bit more? See if they could move Aviemore a wee bit further down the A9 for me.
Closer to Pitlochry.
Somewhere in the middle, and it would just break up the journey a bit more. Because you're only back in the car, what, 25 minutes, half an hour?
Yeah.
No, even that. You've used your stop.
Yeah, true.
Wreaks havoc with the journey back down the road. Anyway, back to more important matters. What we really need is a goal to distract us, to wake us up away from Gordon DL's chip shop memoirs, but nothing yet.
Huddersfield have just scored the second goal.
Oh, he's happy now.
And if Daz does that celebration again, I'm leaving.
Do you know, I'm very sorry. I was can all apologise. Yeah, we're looking for some excitement the day around. Listen, do you not think the weather brings back the excitement in football as well? The lads are sitting there
better.
Basking sunshine, looking for goals, looking for entertainment. And I'll tell you what, some really good games.
I was looking for some sort of Ross McCormick Motherwell St Mirren link, and I found one. Do you remember?
Was that my first ever goals for Motherwell against St Mirren? Second last game of my first season. Scored two.
You scored two and lost 3-2.
Yeah,
didn't you?
I think that was my first goal.
No, you scored in the league. Yep, there you go. You got a double, but John Sutton also got a double for St Mirren. And Billy Mehmet, remember that name?
Billy Mehmet.
Won in there as well. And you lost 3-2 at home at Fir Park. There you go. Stephen Craigan and the Motherwell team. Quite an experimental Motherwell team, that. Not
who
that
played,
many
who
household
played up top
names.
With you?
It would have been Scott McDonald that day, I think.
So, no, that day was a bit of a strange one. David Clarkson only came on. So, you and. I don't think there's another striker. Maybe Stephen McGarry moved up there alongside you. Are you on your own?
Yeah, I think Scotty moved that summer to Celtic, I believe.
Or was that Paul Keegan? Remember him?
Oh,
would it have been him?
He owns a Domino's in Paisley. How random is that?
That is random. You're right.
Because we're hungry. I'm just back for the goal. I'm starving. See if you can get a freebie.
Alibiosu is fired over on a tight angle. Ayunga's pass put him in behind the Motherwell defence. Aberdeen are playing some nice stuff, but no clear cut chances there. There's then a soft penalty claim as Dylan Levitt goes down at Rugby Park, but nothing doing for Hibs there. I don't tell you all the English scores, but no. The big ones, Man City 1 Brighton 0, Erling Haaland with a penalty on the 11th minute. Arbroath 1 Dumbarton 0 in League 1.
Can I just tell you, Gordon, Rodgers doing very well at his own question. He's got two.
See, this is the problem. Hugh gets slipped the answers. Nobody slipped me the answers. I'm trying to help Ross and Daz here.
A very difficult question.
And my two currently is two more than you've got.
I don't get involved in this question.
I would like an answer sheet, quite frankly, because I think at some point I'm going to need to dish out clues here. I think that's going to be seven.
Do you have the answers?
No.
Nobody has answers.
So this is going to
the
be difficult.
The person who wrote the question doesn't even have the answers.
Elgin City 1 Clyde 0, Mark Gallagher with the goal there. Queen of the South 1 Alloa 0, thanks to Lewis O'Donnell. So we are getting goals down the leagues. It's a fairly even split in the capital. Hearts maybe edging the possession, but Ross County are, I was gonna, maybe above all, they're all quite tough to get a a gauge on their form at times. But now, because Ross County can win away from home, Roger, it just used to be a real obstacle for them.
When I was looking at the table this morning, I was astonished. 29 games played, Ross County are only 1 point behind Hearts. Imagine that last season, when Hearts were storming away in third and Lawrence Shanklin was going 30 goals. If you'd said Ross County would rock up at Tynecastle today 1 point behind Hearts, it's been a fantastic season. I think County have already got the points tally reached for the whole of last season with 9 games to go. That's progress.
Yep, they have done very well, and learning to win away has been a huge part of it. So we'll see what happens there in the capital. It's that race for the top six. It is just so tight. Good save there from Dimitar Mitov. Mackenzie Kirk
going back to Tynecastle. We'll need to get a time when Gabs puts the coat back on, because I've been there. The sun beats
I thought it was
in.
A bit ambitious there.
He comes over that wheat field stand right into your face in the main stand. You swelter and swelter and swelter, and then it dips below the stand and the coats are back on and you're frozen.
Oh, it'll be cold out there today once that sun goes away.
All he'll do is move one seat and get into his smart car, put the heating on. Have you seen the size of his car?
Oh, I have.
Just sit there next to mate, you should see this. Cabs his car into it. Well, it's like a box with a steering wheel.
Your favourite topic. I
seemingly turned up with it.
Honestly, well, that was the first night you came and you put your washing in the front of it.
Would it fit in the back of my van?
That's a good show.
It would fit in the front of your van, not the back of it.
Were you back out in the golf course today enjoying the spring weather?
Teeing off at 9 o'clock this morning. Great. Fantastic day for it, I've got to say. Love it. Love being back on the golf course, and then straight back in here, and then straight back in here tomorrow, and that's me until Tuesday.
Busy weekend. We are looking forward to tomorrow. 12 until 4 we are on. So I was going to say set your alarm. I don't know if that's quite required. Stick it in your diary. Whatever it is, we're here until 12 till 4 tomorrow, taking you through all you need to know from Celtic Park.
You must have plans after 4 o'clock tomorrow. 63rd birthday.
I've got plenty of plans. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you now.
Big birthday tomorrow.
Josie, stay behind to see how he's celebrating with you.
I passed on a wee, you know, best wishes for my birthday. But no, I'm just going to have a wee celebration tomorrow after 4:30 by the time I get home.
So 63 tomorrow.
I'm roughly around about that age.
I think Mark Wilson was hoping to head out with you, but now he's been told he's more of an acquaintance than a friend. He might withdraw from that.
Mate, I'm just trying to get out his wedding. I'm dreading that invitation comes through the post. I've tried everything.
That's just because you don't want to buy him a present.
I just don't want to go. I don't particularly like those nights.
Oh, listen,
Bring back such memories.
As best man, you might need to go.
Not a chance I'll be his best man.
I'd look forward to your speech.
I would love it. I would love it. I'll tell you what, it might not last tonight if I done the speech. Remember my good best man.
To be fair, you'd be the expert at that not lasting tonight.
No. I could give him advice where to sleep.
Good chance for Kilmarnock. There's a ball in behind from Brad Lyons to Matty Kennedy. Just on that right hand side, goalkeeper hesitates a bit. Kennedy can't quite dink him from the angle. Hibs, for a while this season, Roger, looked like they would have goalkeeping problems, real goalkeeping problems. Jordan Smith done better though than I think people expected. They've given him a new contract. Is he the man to sort of stay in and be Hibs' long term number one? That maybe that's still up in the air. But they did give him that new contract, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, through to 2028, which I thought was a bit generous. I'm not quite sold on Jordan Smith yet. He did perform well at Celtic Park in the Cup last week. He's getting at the right time, just as they were embarking on this remarkable run, this best run since 1949 or whatever it is. But Joseph Bursic will go back to his parent club in the summer. I would expect David Gray to sign a goalie. I would expect him to sign a number one, and Jordan Smith might need to go back to the bench.
You're nodding, Ross McCormack.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I played with Jordan on his own loan at Nottingham Forest. Decent goalkeeper, but for me, probably not at the level which Hibs will be looking at. So I would have to agree with that. They will be looking for a number one, but they had to come by.
He's only about an inch and a half taller than you.
I think my hands are bigger as well. That's the problem.
Well, we certainly know what else is bigger.
Huddersfield are three up. There you go.
Huddersfield's lead.
Loving Huddersfield. Right, we can scrub that.
Imagine someone's just tuned in going, why on earth are they focusing so much on this Huddersfield?
We've now become West Brom fans, just to let you know.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because there are no goals in Scotland yet in the Premiership or the Championship. Mark Wilson and his colleagues need to get their finger out. Partick Thistle nil, Ayr nil.
I was surprised in that, because there's a lot of tight games there. You can go right down that fixture list. A lot of tight games. I don't think it'll be a 3 or a 4-0 this afternoon. I think it'll be very close. 2-1s, 2-2 draws. I think the boys will get goals, because if it's not, it's got to be a boring half time listening to them try to make that up. But I still think we'll get goals.
Actually, it was a good start at Fir Park, says Fraser Wishart, but it has now become a bit scrappy. So Motherwell looking to follow up that good win against Rangers last time out before the cup break, if you can call it that. And of course, St Mirren got their own good result at Ibrox, Roger. And sometimes it must be difficult to pitch yourself against the Celtic side, because St Mirren conceded 5 goals and lost the game. They actually played pretty well, but you know, it's not a performance that they would come away from feeling negative about themselves.
Actually, I covered both games for Super Scoreboard, Gordon, and St Mirren were as good against Celtic as they were against Rangers, and that sounds ridiculous because, you know, they win 2-0 at Ibrox and then lose 5 at home to Celtic. But they caused Celtic their own problems. Olasanya had a couple of chances at 0-0. There was that penalty claim, Alistair Johnson going in. It could have been a penalty, offered St Mirren a chance to go 3-3. Then you never really know what's going to happen at that stage. But they are playing well. I was just going to ask you guys, Motherwell, surely the top six is in your own hands, though, with the fixtures that you've got. You know, today you get home to St Mirren, and then 3 other games, Aberdeen, Kilmarnock and Hearts. They wouldn't terrify you.
Well, it is officially in their hands, isn't it? Because they're in sixth at the moment, but
injuries.
But also every team then says that, because I was actually thinking about Kilmarnock. I was looking at Kilmarnock's fixtures, and you know, top six is a bit further away for them. But
they have to go to Celtic, don't they?
They do at the end, but you know, they play Hibs today and St Mirren and Motherwell, and these are all games, Gordon, that you just
and they can
feel
win
like
them.
There's much between the sides.
I totally agree. I'll be interesting in the next 3 or 4 games to see who actually makes that top six. Someone will come out of the pack that we'd be surprised with. Look, see if Ross County had to get a result today, I wouldn't put it by them.
What, 1 month? It's 1 month ago today. And bearing in mind there has been a cup card in there, maybe even more than one. Yeah, has there been 2 cup cards since then? Anyway, a month ago today, Motherwell lost 3-0 at home to Ross County. You know, and we were saying probably in a real relegation scrap. By the way, they followed that up with a defeat away at Tannadice as well, but I think the scale of the Ross County one was quite a bad one. And you know, it's just back to back wins. That's all it was. It's the Dundee and the Rangers win puts a totally different complexion on the season.
If you balance it off, you're correct when you're saying, but if you balance it off, you're looking at the fixtures, you're thinking, right, 3 points are going against Ross County because we're not going to get anything Ibrox.
Sure.
And it totally reversed itself. And you're correct in what you're saying. You just cannot predict the results and teams up and down this league this year.
Roger, remind us of your teaser. It's very difficult. I'm not sure how many we're going to get.
I'll give you a couple of teams again, because it took me a moment to get my head around it. Can you name the last 7 vice or stand-in captains to lead their side out in an Old Firm game since season 2017-18? I'll repeat, can you name the previous 7 vice or stand-in captains to lead their side out in an Old Firm game since 2017-18?
I mean, it's quite a lot, but give us some names. Throw some in there. Try and get all 7. Let's see if we can make some progress on there. Partick Thistle 1, Ayr United 0. The Mark Wilson masterclass continues. It helps when you've got Logan Chalmers doing his bit, Roger Hanna, for now, for the second consecutive
former Ayr United winger scoring again. Terrific goal he scored against Queen's Park at Hampden on Tuesday night. He is bang on form, and he's crediting the birth of his young son for a return to form. We just hope it has the same effect in Gordon.
I was going to say, how does that work? So what, you don't get any sleep, but it makes you play better on the football
field? Yeah, it makes you want to stay out longer, keep the game, enjoy yourself.
Train harder,
yeah. Do a cool down. I tell you what, Ayr United need to be careful here, because I fancied them. See, when I watched Ayr United against Hibs in the cup, I know they lost 1-0, yeah, correct?
Yeah, later on, Rocky Bashir.
Yeah, I was very impressed with their squad, everything about them. I thought they looked strong, thought they had good players in good positions, but they're starting to just lose a bit of ground, and Falkirk are at Queen's Park this afternoon, so you would imagine that they would pick up 3 points here. So Ayr United need to get their finger out, because I would hate to be still the most successful manager.
I think the games against each other will sort it all out. I think there's a few Friday night fixtures coming up. I think Ayr have got Falkirk at Somerset Park. I think Ayr have to go to Livy as well. So those games will be the deciding factor in it all. But listen, the top three are cemented in to the playoffs. I think, you know, 13 points clear of Thistle. Thistle are the ones that really need the results.
There's a big goal, Gordon.
Oh, it's a huge goal. At the top and bottom of the championship, Airdrie 1, Livingston 0. Dean McMaster with the goal.
What a day this could be for Falkirk.
Yeah, but they're still 0-0.
A few nervy people in Dunfermline this afternoon after a performance last night and seeing Airdrie going ahead.
That's a great point, because I think everyone had Airdrie dead and buried, didn't they?
But a remarkable escape. If Rhys McCabe, having retained the support of that Airdrie board during that dreadful start to the season, if he could somehow get them out of this predicament, what a job that would be.
Busiest man in Scottish football, Brian Graham, was the assister of the Logan Chalmers goal. He's the one that set it up. So Mark Wilson in the dugout on his own. Do you think he's got his stopwatch?
Oh, he's got his stopwatch. It's the first thing. A stopwatch and a whistle for training.
If he was vindicated because he saw Jose Mourinho with a stopwatch the other night.
Yeah, see, when I think about it, I think he's away with my boots. He borrowed a pair of boots off of me, and I've never seen them since.
Do you think he'll have that stopwatch and whistle down the aisle? Time and everything.
Exactly.
Well, Mark Wilson, there you go. Wears your boots.
Yeah. On my life, right? He needed a pair of boots, and I says to him, well, I've got a pair that's never been used. From
1984.
No, from my training days. I didn't. And I gave him them, and I have never seen them since.
Puma Kings. You're a Puma Kings,
yeah, I'd like
man.
To know what kind. No,
I bet he's getting married in a party thistle trunks. I hear. we're all in Breakin tracks.
Because he gave the Breakin one away.
No, we've to get the Breakin ones.
What was your boot of choice, Ross McCormick, a man who scored many goals in the English Championship and beyond?
Oh God, I think I've probably worn nearly every pair.
Did
I think
you just did this Copas.
No, he was a flash player, this guy.
Adidas Copas were a bit. All the good players wore Adidas World Cups at the beginning.
In the early 90s.
Copas.
No, I think.
He played recently.
Copas, I've got something in my head about Copas. You wear them once, and if they're wet, they stretch about two sizes.
Nah, nonsense.
They're hopeless, them boots. I was, towards the end, I was just Predators, to be honest.
Never mind. What about the colour? What colour did you wear?
He's a white boots man.
Just whatever the latest colour was, really.
What was the most outrageous?
I had a pair of pink Predators when I was at Central Coast Mariners. Shocking they were.
If you're whacking in free kicks from everywhere, you can get away with that, though. It's all about how you back it up. Queen of the South 2, Alloa 0. Liam Smith has doubled Queen's for advantage.
Wishart wore Diodora. Nobody had ever heard of him. He only needed him for a throw in to steady himself, didn't he?
Can any of his name the make that Paolo Di Canio used to wear when he was at Celtic? Remember that he scored the goal free kick at Aberdeen?
Pantoforo Doros?
That's right.
I would like to have seen Gordon Dale pronounce it. I knew it as well, but I was hoping one of you would take on Airdrie 1, Livy 1. It's short lived. There you go. Scrap everything you were saying about the top and the bottom of the table. Robbie Muirhead has equalised for Livy. 25 minutes gone. That was him that had that interesting goal celebration a few weeks ago
at Somerset Park. Scored from 35 yards, free kick in the 96th minute. And probably as a former Kilmarnock man, enjoyed his celebration in front of the main stand.
We enjoyed it, all right.
I didn't see it. Did he milk it? Did he? I take it.
Stop it. Please stop it.
What? I honestly, on my life, I didn't see it.
You genuinely didn't mean that turn of phrase there.
You have discussed it in this show.
No, I have not.
You absolutely have.
All right. Sorry.
I've got a big goal for Park. Yes. With M&D Green Pharmacy. Goes to the visitors, and it is Caelan Boyd-Munce. Just around 25 minutes on the clock, 20 yards out. It's a big deflection, so a huge slice of luck. I don't think he or Stephen Robinson or the travelling fans will care, because it's Motherwell 0, St Mirren 1.
Huge goal for St Mirren. Huge goal in the context of the top six. You know, you said at the top of the show, a couple of real six pointers. Motherwell, St Mirren, Hearts, Ross County. If St Mirren were going to get back into this picture, make it three in a row in terms of top six finishes, this was a crucial game for them this afternoon. They've got a breakthrough,
and it's close. Goal flashes with
M&D Green Pharmacy. Firstly, VAR is checking offside at Fir Park, so we'll take a look there. But Hearts have taken the lead. Hearts 1, Ross County 0. Elton Kabangu, he started on fire on the goal scoring Hunt. He maybe dropped ever so slightly, but he's poked one through the keeper's legs after great work by Benny Beningame, and Hearts lead Ross County by a goal to nil.
Yeah,
been a good signing, Roger.
Oh, he's been terrific. This is the first of these data analysis signings that's come in from USG. USG, of course,
a subsidiary club to Tony Bloom's Brighton. Tony Bloom's Jameson Analytics are the side that Hearts are using to bring these signings in. So if they all make the impact of Elkin Kabangu, they'll be doing well. And yeah. Benny Beningame signed long ago from Everton. He's coming back into a rich vein of form just at the right time.
Another goal. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. Now it's all happening. Hibs have taken the lead at Kilmarnock. So it is Martin Boyle, in that an awful corner from Kilmarnock, and then Martin Boyle making them pay. Levitt on the counter attack. Martin Boyle in a rich vein of form in recent months, and he scores again.
Well, what's he wearing when he's scoring, Gordon?
What do you mean?
Sorry?
You were telling me earlier on that a rival show had been debating what Martin
Boyle sleeps in. That's right. But he has scored. There was only one back for Kilmarnock, and Hibs sort of broke a 3v1. That'll pace for a straight Derek McInnes, won't it?
But I'll tell you what. You look at Hibs and their success climbing from the bottom of the league. Boyle's been massive in that. He really has. Partick Thistle.
That's good news for Partick Thistle.
Good news for us.
Partick Thistle 2, Ayr United 0, Luke Macbeth.
Dreadful news.
With the goal at Roger.
These will be Martin Boyle's final weeks as a Hibs player. I would expect him to leave the club in the summer. He's the highest paid player at Easter Road by probably about a length of Princes Street. They have just announced losses of £7 million, in excess of £7 million. I would think Martin Boyle would depart the club, and I would expect his next club will be in Australia. He's an Aussie international. He's never hidden his desire to go there at some stage in his career.
How old?
Oh, will it be early 30s maybe, Martin? Yeah, I would have thought so. I would expect him to go in the summer to Oz, but if he can fire the goals that get Hibs third place in this league, he will go with everyone's good wishes.
Kilmarnock are really struggling, isn't it?
And it's interesting that the way Gordon described the goal, one left at the back, the night they went 2-0 up against Rangers, I thought they would lock the game down.
Yeah.
Derek McInnes, for 10 years as a manager, more than 10 years, has expertise at locking games down, and Rangers ran right through them. Scored four goals. It sounds as if Hibs have taken that up this afternoon.
Still a bit of football to go. Let's not get carried away here. But I said that we'd get goals. It was a slow start to this afternoon, but the boys are welcome the goals now and the excitement. And you know, that's a massive goal for Hibs. Come on, it needs a big response.
Yeah, now we've got real interesting stories on our hands. Maybe you would have expected Hearts to take the lead, an even game at Fir Park, but it's St Mirren who go in front, and Hibs down there at Rugby Park as well.
What's happening with your pal? He's done it again, hasn't he?
Who?
Wishart's got a goal. Callum's got a goal down the road. Gabs has got a goal in Edinburgh.
What about the
postie?
Tactical genius.
What about the postie? What's happened?
The hosey.
St Johnson nil, Aberdeen nil. Come on, David.
He'll get the tactics board out. Did you hear him? Oh yeah, I really thought Rangers looked good when they went to back four. Somebody probably had to tell him that.
Somebody's not taking it well that Mark Wilson's now the tactical mastermind on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Out there doing great things. Got Thistle 2-0 up against Ayr.
He is. I've got to take my hat off to him. I doubt him, because I'd watched his ability at Ayr and it wasn't too promising. But he certainly went on there and he's doing very well indeed, him and Brian Graham. It's quite a good partnership, that. See, you know, the two of them working together, one on the field, one at the side. It seems to be working so far.
Ross, you won't have heard this, so it's worth repeating. I have said it to the listeners before, but my favourite piece of tactical relationship between those two is when we were in Germany and Mark was doing his coaching badges and he had some sort of assessment to do, and Gordon's giving it, well, I'll help you, I'm your mentor, I'm your guru, and he's leaning over and Mark's watching some video and he's going, what about him? He keeps pointing
at
this guy
running.
Why is he not making the run? Mark, why is he not making the run? And it was the referee.
No chance. Mark kept going, what one? I went, him. Get him going beyond the strikers. He went, that's a referee.
Oh my God.
That's as well he can link up. Oh, there's an Arbid goal.
Yes, Airdrie back in front. Airdrie 2, Livy 1. Ben Wilson with the goal. So in for a bit of a treat there in North Lanarkshire, Roger.
Absolutely. And you know, that'll be a blow to Davy Martindale. They saw Livingston get out of the Scottish Cup to St Johnstone on Monday night.
He'd build this as Livy's biggest game of the season, just to bounce back from that cup disappointment, Graham Carey's wonder goal, and to get back closer to Falkirk to have a chance of winning the title. If they lose at Airdrie today, it's beginning to look a big ask.
Remind us of your teaser, please.
Here we go. Can you name the previous seven vice or stand-in captains to lead their side out in an Old Firm game since 2017-18 season?
Some people are getting very close here. Let's do some wrong ones. Kian Stark wants to throw in Danny Wilson.
No, I'm afraid not.
What about Kenny Miller?
No, not Kenny either.
Graham Dorans?
No.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give you some clues here because we're struggling to get full lists because it is very, very difficult. It really is hard. So let's go through them all. We said there was seven. There is one, two, three, four. There are five. It's five Rangers, actually. Yeah, five. Five Rangers and two Celtic.
I'm just checking this out for you. Yes. One, two. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Five Rangers, two Celtic, and only one Scotsman on the list.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Okay. Okay. Another chance for the new Scotland call-up this time. James Wilson, ball played through by Shankland, who missed out of the squad. Keeper gets down low to make the save. I think that'll have been a sore one for Lauren Shankland, Ross, being left out of that squad.
Yeah, and I think because he's probably putting his numbers, his numbers are being put down, and he's doing that for the good of the team as well, dropping back into that number. Ideally, he'd like to be playing as number nine, but for me, I would just always have Shankland in the squad. But looking at it from the outside, I'm not sure Steve Clarke's such a big fan of Shankland, because even when he was scoring all them goals, he wasn't really getting much minutes for Scotland.
Do you think now that Shankland, his age, wants to be that centre forward? Because I think he looks so comfortable playing in that number 10 role. I think he's a clever, clever player. And Hearts have started climbing the league. The semi-final of the Scottish Cup, I think Shankland's been a big part of that. Unfortunately for him,
is he not there though to accommodate Elton Cabangu and James Wilson as well,
and then maybe add more goals to his game? But I just think he's such a clever player, and I think he's a big part of what they're trying to do. Look, he scored all the goals last season, and the minute you do that, people then, they forget about what you contribute to the game. They just look at how many goals they scored this season. Oh, he must have had a poor season. Listen, Shankland's not had a poor season. Shankland's a very, very good player. Unfortunately for him with Scotland, if he's got to drop a bit deeper, I think we've got so many good players can play that role.
These guys, they gather tomorrow, the Scotland squad, they gather in Glasgow. Lennon Miller and James Wilson, 18 years of age, will go into that squad for the first time. What was it like? What was it like when you first went in?
I got to be honest with you, it was very nerve-wracking. You're walking in there and you've got guys like Scott Brown, Barry Ferguson, who've seen it all, done it, won everything, even Alan McGregor at that period in time. I was nervous, but at the same time, you've got to back yourself. Now, not back yourself and be loud round about the camp and stuff, but back your ability on the pitch. You're there for a reason. These guys have been chosen for a reason. Steve Clarke thinks they're good enough, and he's given them a platform to go and show that. So I think there'll be a lot of excitement there, but I think the nerves will be there too.
This is always the weekend where you look out, Roger, and cross your fingers that everyone comes through it fit, first of all, because there's... Oh, hold on, we've got another goal.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Motherwell 0, St Mirren 2, and it's Killian Phillips. St Mirren now very much in the driving seat. They deserve their lead, and they have doubled it. Killian Phillips has, of course, played for Aberdeen last season. He scored against Celtic recently, I think scored against Motherwell, a really impressive goal previously, and this one as well, a spectacular finish. 16 yards, kind of sat up nicely, a hitch kick according to Fraser Wishart, and it is 2-0 to St Mirren.
He's done well in that loan spell. He plays on the right of the three in that central midfield for St Mirren. Just trying to work out who plays in this sort of left centre midfield for Motherwell, who's probably having to pick him up.
Markham, I know, you need to figure that one.
Captain, skipper.
I'll ask somebody in Monday
night. Not today.
Is he not?
Stephen O'Donnell's back.
Oh, Stephen O'Donnell's back, is he? That's a big blow for
Maybe that's where Motherwell are going wrong. The skipper.
Yeah,
got the armband.
Maybe he's in a huff. But 2-0, they need to get
scored. Sounds a bit like the goal Phillips scored against Celtic, actually, a couple of weeks ago.
What's a hitch kick?
Don't try it.
What is that? A sort of a.
Aye, I mean, this is radio and that doesn't really work.
Yeah,
but kind of what you just
as long as I know what it is, I'm not really interested.
Don't do
listeners.
That again either.
That yeah. sound effect. No,
did you hear the hip going there?
Got another goal at Fir Park.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
A place for entertainment. Callum Slattery pulls one back immediately for Motherwell, so it's now Motherwell 1, St Mirren 2. Gordon Dale did say they really needed the next goal, which was clearly the case. A volley low to the keeper's right from 20 yards, another good goal, and game on, because that was turning pretty ugly for Motherwell midway through the first half. But Motherwell 1, St Mirren 2.
Sounds as if Fraser's got the game of the day at Fir Park. And listen, if you're going to lose two goals, lose them early, it gives you the opportunity to get back in. Callum Slattery's been playing well since he's been back in the team, a year out of the team. He must have had doubts whether he would get back to the levels he was at before. But very quickly, he's having an influence on that Motherwell team again. And when Michael Vimmer gets to minute half time, he will be telling them that they can get something out of this game.
Less than a minute between the goals, Ross, does that, see as a pro, does that have you tearing your hair out? So if you're an attacker, as an example, and you do your bit and you score, and then your team concedes within a minute, how frustrating is that?
Yeah, I mean, you get into a 2-0 lead and you think, right, okay, let's get through to half time and then you'll have a good chance in the second half. But to concede right away, they'll probably be putting the back foot now for the last 10 minutes of the first half. It is, it'll be frustrating, but I think St Mirren would probably expected Motherwell to probably get a goal at some point. But like I said, I just fancy St Mirren. Actually, when you said it went scrappy in the first half, I actually fancied them a little bit more. I thought that would suit St Mirren.
Great time to get back in the game, isn't it? You don't want that to go 10 minutes, getting a half time 2-0. All of a sudden, it gives you that lift, gives the supporters a lift, gives the players a lift, everything. That was an important goal. It really was. I had to get it quickly.
I've just had the most bizarre text from a pal saying, I'm listening to the show. Can you ask Ross McCormack if he's ever assisted a goal for Usain Bolt?
His first ever goal, I did, yes. So weird, isn't it?
Where was that?
It was on trial for about 3 months at Central Coast Mariners.
Were you over there as well?
Yeah.
You've been everywhere, haven't you?
That's where I was wearing my pink Predators. And by the way,
I'm glad you're listening.
I just switch off.
I've got an even stranger one, actually. This show must be going all over the world. Someone who listens in Saudi has just sent me, he's listening to the show, and he sent me the owner of Pantofolo Doro's number. I reckon we could get you a free pair of boots.
Imagine you with the gold ones, the old Decanio. Oh. The gold Decanio boots to replace the ones Mark Wilson stolen from you.
I would probably trade them. Ask him if he does golf clubs.
Can you imagine he got to ask to do the advert? They'd need 1,500 takes before they could pronounce and make of the boots.
What is that viral video again? You ever seen it, the two? It's like the old American couple, and they're trying to say some sort of product and they can't. No, you're looking at me blankly.
The only two I remember are Mark Wilson
over and over again.
Mark Wilson doing the Endrick Vets.
That was brilliant.
And Christopher from Ayrshire and Big Bob's Mattresses in Portland.
That's right.
The best bit about that was the following day I played golf with Mark, and he was saying to me, listen here, I need to speak to you. I says, what is it? He says, I'm doing all these adverts for Radio Clyde. Do you think I should ask for more money? I says, fill your boots, get in there and chat the doors.
Is Usain Bolt the most famous person you've ever met then?
Oh, of course.
Unbelievable. I've actually been fortunate enough to play with some big players, your John Terry's, Barry Ferguson's, people like that, but that was something different over there. That was a different level of celebrity. I mean, we were walking to lunch one day after training, and by the time we'd got across the road, there must have been about 200, 250 people who'd actually crossed over the other side of the road just to walk behind Usain Bolt. Was
he any good?
He was quick. I may say he was hopeless.
He was quick. Yeah.
Do you know what, he was trialling as a centre forward. So just to give you an indication, you know you do crossing and finishing drills. He actually get moved to left wing back so he could use his pace up the line.
Just get out of the way.
Yeah.
Get out of the way of the ball.
Yeah,
I actually remember that. See, when he came for the Commonwealth Games in 2014, that's kind of how I think I went to a press conference or something. And I think, you know, they talk about aura, don't they? You know, and you always think, like, what does that really mean? Once you get to that level of worldwide fame, they just carry themselves a bit different, don't they?
Yeah, he's an absolute superstar. He's got some good stories as well, I must admit. I can't tell any of them on air, but he definitely does, yes.
Even more than a dazzler.
I'll need to check your career. I don't really know
you
much.
Intrigued
about, I don't really know that much about
I'm
you.
I'm not surprised. You don't know much about your own career. You're not going to know much about his.
By the way, I didn't know he played at Forest either. That was a new to me. In fact, I didn't. I was going to say to Gordon, can you remember him being at Motherwell? Because I can't remember you being at Motherwell.
That's silly, though.
I don't.
He was a top Motherwell player.
In a good team. Who's your manager?
Mark McGee. First time.
Oh, right. I can't remember it. Honestly, I'm not kidding on. I can't remember you.
Glad he's here for his insight, though. On a Saturday afternoon. Roger, remind us of your teaser again. We'll round it off in a couple of minutes.
Here we go, round it off shortly before half time. Last chance. Can you name the previous seven vice or stand-in captains to lead their side out in an Old Firm game since 2017-18?
I don't think we've got any.
What else?
We've got them can I tell right.
You? I wouldn't have got some of them.
But people are getting really close, though. So let me have a wee look and see if we can tweak one or two.
Do you want some clues?
I mean, as an example, Blair Maitland. No, I think Blair might have them all. Yeah, I think Blair might have them. That looks pretty close.
A good shout, Blair, if you
looks
have.
Looks pretty close to me. It's certainly when he's given it a second attempt, because he's taken Kenny Miller out. Michael Donati wanted to put Craig Gordon in there. He's not in it, is he?
No.
Is there a goalkeeper in there, though?
There is not a goalie in there. Let me just know there's not.
Okay.
Just looking at that English Premier League, Ipswich nil, Forest 3 before half time. George Hurst on the bench for Ipswich.
Ah, he's keeping himself fresh.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if he was heading north in the next 24 or 36 hours.
I think he'll get added to the squad over the weekend.
I think he will. FIFA have ratified his change of international allegiance, shall we say. FA in England have cleared it all. I would think he'd be added.
Is that Jeff? Son.
It's Jeff Hurst's son, yeah, as you incorrectly guessed. The other night, how old did we say Jeff Hurst was again?
Oh, he's well into his 80s.
83 or something. And no, it is David Hurst, his boy George, and it looks like he will join up with the Scotland squad. There's a good chance, according to Roger Hanna's prediction, that will happen in the next day or two.
What about this Forest team, Ross? A slightly better Forest team than you played in. Third in the Premier League, heading for the Champions League.
Flying, yeah. I think back to front, they're just so... just so hard to beat. Hard to beat. But and also they're scoring goals at a good rate too. Chris Wood is probably, how many has he got? What,
I know, he's been incredible.
Unbelievable. You would never have seen it coming. You look at some of the players that are in the team, and not being disrespectful, but you wouldn't class them as top Premier League players. So to do what they're doing, what are they, third in the Premier League still? It's ridiculous.
You're talking about Jeff Hurst. It's unfortunate he wasn't in the England squad yesterday, the way Thomas Tuchel was naming him. Steve Clark goes for the kids, Thomas Tuchel goes for the OAPs.
You know, we always hear in this country, you couldn't do it this week because all of a sudden James Wilson, Lennon Miller was in the previous squads, Ben Doak. So there has been a youthful feel to it. But we are so quick to batter Scotland squads when there's a kind of backwards look about them. I thought, what would the equivalent be of Jordan Henderson getting called up? Because they've got so many young good options.
Yeah.
And they've gone, that was a real surprise.
Jordan Henderson, Dan Byrne at 32, Marcus Rashford back in the squad, Kyle Walker in the squad in his 30s as well. A quite remarkable squad.
Well, there's a big goal in the Championship. Queen's Park nil, Falkirk 1, Liam Henderson just before the break.
This could be the day for Falkirk. Ayr losing, Livi losing. If the Bairns hold on and win at Hampden, 9 points clear.
That'd be enough.
I would think that would be enough. Yeah. I would think. And listen, John McGlynn has done a fantastic job there. And you just wonder, on and off the field, the importance of that Scott Arfield signing in January, just to see them over the line.
Yeah, he's been terrific for him, and you've got to say. I'd love to see Falkirk coming up. I like the way they play football. I like the way he adapts to. He's not a long ball player. He gets the ball down. He's got good players in the middle of the park. I think you're right. Arfield getting in there, that bit of experience can still contribute a lot. Of course he can. So this could be a big afternoon.
Just,
you're right.
Just one in league two. First half time, Bonnyrigg nil, Stirling won. Their own goal from young Gallagher, Lennon Nielsen on loan from St Mirren. I think he's been doing really well at Bonnyrigg. I think he's been enjoying it. Comes back, trains with St Mirren through the week. Big career ahead of him, but a difficult afternoon for him. And Bonnyrigg, bottom of League Two, they could be in bother.
Quickly scanning through the last few years in my mind, we've not had any come up and go back down yet, have we?
No, I don't think so. Not since,
so they'd be looking
not
to
since
be,
the pyramid was introduced.
They'd be looking to avoid that unwanted piece of history, because there's usually, or there has been a feeling that once you go up, yeah. you kind of stay. And once you go down, you stay down. You know, yeah. Similarly, Cowdenbeath, nowhere near coming back up. Albion Rovers, teams like that,
they'll feel a degree of injustice given that they're bottom of the league because of the points penalty for the slope in the
pitch. That is very true. Right, I think we're in a position to round this off just before the break.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Can you name the previous seven vice or stand-in captains to lead their side out in an Old Firm game since 2017-18? They are Nico Raskan, January 2 this year; Cameron Carter-Vickers, the 3-3 draw last season; Stephen Davis, a 1-0 win for Rangers in 2021; Connor Goldson, led them out twice when James Tavernier was out in the Rangers title winning season; Callum McGregor, who was still vice-captain when Scott Brown missed out in that same season; James Tavernier, who captained the Rangers once in a derby before being officially Rangers captain; and Bruno Alves in a 0-0 draw at Celtic Park in December 2017.
Please cut me some slack here. I think there are seconds between these, and it kind of depends how you refresh and what order they show up in. I do think Igaman Prop got there first. Michael Donati, I think, was just behind Kean Stark. So forgive me, right? You can all appeal to the Olympic Committee and see which order your medals are in. I think Igaman gets the gold. I think Kean Stark pipped Michael Donati to second. But well done to the three of you, right? Because it was a tough one and not many people got it all right. You did. And we'll have a Who Am I a bit later on. We have a half-time whistle in the capital at Tynecastle. Here's Gabriel.
Yeah, it's 1-0 Hearts over Ross County here. Elton Kabungu with his eighth of the season halfway through the first 45, giving the hosts a deserving advantage. They were level in the opening exchanges between the two teams, but Hearts started to get a grip of the game around the 20-minute mark and got their opener not long after. Great work by Benny Beningame in midfield. He's been Hearts' driving force. Slipped the ball through to the striker Kabungu, who toe-poked it through the onrushing goalkeeper's legs. James Wilson then had a chance to make his dream week even better after captain Lawrence Shankland rolled him through, but it wasn't the cleanest of strikes back across goal, with Amisa in goal getting down low to make a decent save. There's been plenty of good link-up between Blair Spittle and James Penrice down this left flank just in front of me in the Tynecastle sunshine, but they've just not been able to find the final ball. Phillips has looked a bit of a threat on the counter for County, but other than a couple of corners, they've offered very little, and they need to show a lot more going forward if they are to get something from this game, Gordon. Hearts in control, but County still in it, and it would be a huge 3 points in a bid for the top six. At the interval, it's Hearts 1, County 0.
And it's also half-time at McDermott Park. Here is David Friel.
Half-time, Gordon, St Johnstone 0, Aberdeen 0. Strange game this, to be honest with you. Aberdeen have played the better football, but St Johnstone have definitely had the best chances. Mackenzie Kirk and Adama Sidibe will both feel they could have done better with openings. Kevin Nisbet's been carrying most of the danger for Aberdeen, but they've really lacked a cutting edge once again. Both sides a goal from the start. St Johnstone had that first chance in 10 minutes. Jason Holt won the ball in midfield. There was claims of a foul, and Aberdeen might have had a point, but he kept playing. He slipped a pass to Mackenzie Kirk. He looked certain to score, but Dimitar Mitov made a terrific save to Darien. Aberdeen keeper then saved low from Dre Wright. It was an 18-yard shot. But St Johnstone were really just hitting in the break. Aberdeen had most of the ball, playing some nice stuff, but never really created any clear-cut chances. They finally tested Andy Fisher in 19 minutes. Kevin Nisbet flicked the ball up for himself, great skill, and then sent a volley straight at the St Johnstone keeper. In the next attack, Nisbet peeled over at the angle of the box and got a Cullen shot away, but that was also saved by Andy Fisher. Aberdeen, as I said, have continued to put pressure on, playing nice football, but St Johnstone have defended really, really well. And Adama Sidibe, just before half-time, had a shot hacked away just off the line after good work from Sam Curtis, created space. All to play for here. Half-time, St Johnstone 0, Aberdeen 0.
Well, can hope for better in front of goal for David Friel in the second half. I think we've also got a half-time whistle at Rugby Park. Let's speak to Callum Brown.
Yeah, 1-0 Hibs here at half-time. Gordon Martin Boyle's 25th minute strike, the difference between the sides at the break. Nothing really between them though. Plenty of mistakes made in possession by both, and not a lot of clear-cut chances barring the goal. In saying that though, if Bobby Wales had managed to get on the end of a Marley Watkins ball across the 6-yard box inside 2 minutes, it could have been a different story. The young striker just couldn't get there on the stretch. As I say, mistakes have been a theme of the first half. On 12 minutes, a ball in behind from Brad Lyon sent Matty Kennedy in behind on the right-hand side. Jordan Smith hesitated in coming out, but Matty Kennedy couldn't dink him from a tight angle, the ball running out of play. Halfway through the first half, Junior Hoylett came closest to finding an opener. He made a half yard of space on the edge of the box after beating Joe Wright, but he curled one just over the bar. And then on the 25th minute, that Hibs opener, a classic defence to attack move, a corner from Kilmarnock's Matty Kennedy, short to the edge of the box to Danny Armstrong. It looked a good opening as he was free on the edge, but his shot was blocked. The ball broke kindly to Dylan Levitt, who sprinted forward with the ball. And it turned out to be a 3-versus-1 counter with only Corey and Daba back for Kilmarnock. Levitt then, as he drove forward just towards the edge of the box, slipped Martin Boyle in behind. He finished beyond McCrory, despite a touch from the goalkeeper, but really a goal from nothing and a gift to Hibs. Kelly shooting themselves in the foot. Right on half-time as well, a ball into the box on the second phrase from a corner found Nectar Triantis on the edge of the box, but he volleyed narrowly wide of the far post. All to play for in this second half, but Kilmarnock nil, Hibs one at the break.
And it looks like game of the day for Fraser Wishart at Fir Park. Take it away, Fraser.
Yeah, it's been a good one so far. Gordon Murrow, one, St Mirren, two. Been a 45 minutes where there's always something happening. Been a physical game as well. Three goals, which have given St Mirren a deserved 2-1 half-time lead. And only just a minute and a clock. Really good chance for Murrow. A long ball over the top. Alex Goggett's running on to, under pressure from Luke Plange. Was he fouled or did he slip? Tom Sparrow didn't wait. He latched onto a loose ball and lobbed it over the goalkeeper into the top of the net. VR might have had a look, I think, if he had scored. 6 minute first effort from St Mirren. Johnny Young, a lovely pass in behind Ryan Alibiosu, was in at an angle, fired his shot over the bar when he should have at least made the goalkeeper make a save. Ayunga and Olasanya causing the Motherwell defence real problems with their pace and power. St Mirren with the better of the game. Number of corners, one from Declan John wasn't cleared, that caused a scramble and was headed off the line by Dan Casey, but that only delayed the opener by a couple of minutes. 24 minutes deserved opener for St Mirren. Olasanya got in behind again. He looked as if he could shoot himself, but he delayed. Was the chance gone? But he turned and he set up Boyd Munster from 20 yards, hit a left foot shot, took a huge deflection, nothing Ellery Balcombe can do. He was diving one way, the ball went the other way into the corner of the net. Murrow hadn't really threatened since that first minute Sparrow chance. Fans beginning to show their frustration, and the frustration got worse from 34 minutes. 2-0 to St Mirren. The Murrow defence didn't clear Declan John cross. It bounced nicely 16 yards out for Kieran Phillips, and he hit a left foot hitch kick, struck it really well into the bottom corner of the net past Ellery Balcombe's dive. It was trouble for Murrow at this stage, but they did get a goal back almost straight from kickoff. The ball fell to Callum Slattery, who's first onto a loose ball 20 yards out. Really good finish by the midfield player. He hit it well. It was a controlled volley low into the corner to the keeper's right. Ex-Saints keeper Ellery Balcombe then heaved a sigh of relief. He missed on a harder corner. The ball hit Alex Gogic in the head. He didn't know much about it, but the ball only went a couple of inches wide. And then just before the half-time whistle, New Scotland man Lennon Miller had a good chance in stoppage time. Good control from a driven Thompson cross, but he fired over under pressure from Marcus Fraser. Murrow really haven't created enough in the first half. Michael Vimmer went better. St Mirren have been good though, but Stephen Robinson, I think, will be very aware the next goal will be vital to the outcome of this game. Half time at Fir Park, Motherwell 1, St Mirren 2.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half-time scores across the country. Let's start with the Premiership. Hearts 1, Ross County 0, Kilmarnock 0, Hibs 1, Motherwell 1, St Mirren 2, and St Johnstone 0, Aberdeen 0. In the Championship, Airdrie 2, Livingston 1, Hamilton Accies 0, Morton 0, Partick Thistle 2, Ayr United 0, Queen's Park 0, Falkirk 1. Into Scottish League 1, Arbroath 1, Dumbarton 0, Inverness 0, Annan Athletic 1, Montrose 0, Cove 0, Queen of the South 2, Alloa Athletic 1, and Stenhouse Muir 0, Kelty Hearts 0. In League 2, Bonnyrigg Rose 0, Stirling Albion 1, East Fife 0, Stranraer 0, Elgin City 2, Clyde 0, Forfar 0, The Spartans 0, and Peterhead 0, Edinburgh City 0. We'll finish with the English Premier League at the break. It's Everton 0, West Ham 0, Ipswich 0, Nottingham Forest 3, Man City 2, Brighton 1, and Southampton 0, Wolves 1. We will be back for the second halves next.